Okay, our next Masechta is February 11th, is Kilayim. It's very interesting that the Rambam starts his laws of Zroim with Kilayim, but in Rebbe's configuration of the Mishnah, he waits to teach, besides Brachos, Peah and Mai first, and then Kilayim, which really is something that precedes Peah, because Kilayim has to do with how we seed the ground, and Peah is after the grain is already standing. I get the other Masechtas, like Trumas, Maisrus, Maisusheni, Mikurim. These are things that have to do with events that take place leading up to a harvest. So, or even past the harvest, of course. But it seems that Rebbe did not want to start Zroim with Kilayim. The Rambam didn't mind doing that. Okay, so there are altogether, we'll see that there are six different types of Kilayim. So let's start with how the Masechta begins. It's called Kilay Zroim. The word Kilayim comes from the Hebrew word kele, which in modern Hebrew means a prison. So Kilayim means that we want to stop these things from happening. When Yahushua told Moshe, Adoni Moshe Kilayim, he either meant imprison them, to take them away, or silence them. We want to silence these mixtures. We don't want to have what the first thing is Kilay Zroim, which is that we cannot plant certain seeds within a certain proximity. All right, the Kilay Zroim are kept in Israel. Outside of Israel, we're allowed to plant, let's say, an onion near near wheat. It may not be smart to do this because an onion needs a certain type of soil and nourishment in a way that's different from wheat, but it wouldn't make them both prohibited like it does in Israel. Okay, that's known as Kilay Zroim, and the first parak discusses those things. And it's a great day to do this because it's the day before Rosh Chodesh Adar, and the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Maseches, there's a Mishnah in Maseches Shkalim and the Mishnah in Maseches Megillah that say that on Rosh Chodesh Adar, messengers went out from the paid by the temple treasury to uproot Kilayim wherever that may be in the streets. They would have to look around to see if, not necessarily that someone planted it, but that just seeds on their own, it's called Svichim, might have spread, and that could be possibly violating Kilay Zroim, or worse, what's called Kilay HaKerem, when grapes are sown with proximity to onions or grains or things like that, then that makes both very prohibited, even more so than Kilay Zroim. Masechta gets into that by the third parak, and on Rosh Chodesh Adar, which is tomorrow, the Beis Din the Sanhedrin would send out messengers to scour the land to make sure that there's no Kilayim growing. All right, it's an amazing expenditure, and that came from the Shkolim. That's why it's in the first Mishnah of Maseches Shkolim, which of course is this Shabbos, is Parshas Shkolim, because it's on Rosh Chodesh Adar. Okay, so that's the first two. Let's make sure we understand them. Kilay Zroim and Kilay HaKerem. So mixed seeds, and it becomes much more prohibited when one of the mixed seeds is a vineyard. When I say much more prohibited, the proximity must be much broader, much wider. There are disputes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai of how broad and how wide it has to be, but it's much further around. You may recall in the Perek Ramah Rabbi Akiva, the Masechet Shabbos, a big sugya on this, and so these are the first two types of kilayim. The third type of kilayim has to do with grafting trees. We're not allowed to graft two separate trees together to create another fruit. In most cases, it wouldn't create another fruit anyway. If you try to graft an orange with a pineapple, it's not going to happen. All right. So, but you can graft to produce another fruit, an apple and a pear, that will produce something called a palmelo. And while the halacha frowns upon creating such a fruit, we're actually allowed to eat such a fruit, right? But we are l'chatchila allowed to graft two of the same fruit. You can graft a red delicious apple with a yellow delicious apple, in order to produce a red and yellow delicious apple. There are over 3,000 different species of apples on planet Earth right now because of all this grafting apples to apples and creating a different type of taste. I mean, if you would take a Granny Smith apple with a Macintosh apple, you're really creating something with a different kind of taste. So that's permitted l'chatchila, and so that's the next topic is grafting trees. We should not create the thing, but again, if it was already created, we're allowed to eat it. The next is cross-mating animals. We're not allowed to cross-mate two different animals. Now, most two different animals will not create anything, right? But a deer and a goat will create another animal. Gemara calls that a koi. Gemara is not sure if that stems from that or whether it's part animal, part behemoth, part chaya, or whether it's a whole new type of animal on its own. This will have differences. The Mishnah says whether we have to prohibit the forbidden fats of that animal, which is only prohibited on a behemoth, a cow, sheep, or goat, or whether we have to cover the blood of the animal when it's slaughtered, which only has to happen to a chaya, like a deer, but not a goat. All right, so that is what's also prohibited to us is to cross mate animals. We're not allowed to create a mule by crossing a horse and a donkey. All right, so again, there's a dispute in the Gemara about what happens to this thing that's created from crossbred animals. If we crossbreed a mule and a donkey and a horse, are we allowed to ride on that mule? Yes, a prohibition was violated in order to create that mule. Now, is that mule permitted or prohibited? There is an opinion in the Yerushalmi Kilayim that even riding a mule is prohibited, which is a difficult position since there are a lot of righteous people in the Bible who ride on mules, and we didn't see any classical material that considers that to have been sinful. What's this? The idea behind it is something that is not shared by trees. You see, there is also a law in the Torah that we're not allowed to ride in a carriage, let's say, run by two different animals. We're not allowed to have two different animals pull the same burden. We're not allowed to have an ox and a donkey plowing together. We're not allowed to ride in a carriage run by a horse and an ox, or even a horse and a donkey. All right. So the svara of Yerushalmi is that if I ride a mule, I'm essentially working two different animals at the same time. I'm working a horse and a donkey at the same time because there's a little piece of horse, there's a little piece of mule of donkey in this mule. So by riding on it, I'm violating the other law of not working two different animals. So while there is an opinion that I shouldn't ride on such a mule, but there's no opinion that I'm not allowed to eat a tangelo or a palmello or any other such fruit that's created by grafting. Okay, the Yerushalmi also has an opinion. This opinion appears in the Bavli too, that this rule of not using two different animals applies if one of the animals chews its cud and the other animal doesn't. That's the Torah law. That's why the Torah says, don't plow with an ox and a donkey. The ox chews its cud, the donkey doesn't. They're going to work very differently if one is chewing its cud and one doesn't. According to this position, which the Rush disagrees with, it would appear that two separate animals, both that chew their cud, like a goat and an ox, you can pin together, according to the Torah, to the same burden. But the Rush says that he thinks that it does not fit the essence of what the Torah is saying, and he disagrees with that position. He thinks it's a Torah law for any two different animals to be pulling the same burden. Yerushalmi and Bavli also mentioned the most amazingly absurd example of a fish and a bird pulling the same burden, right? That would be prohibited because they're two different species. Okay, the Masechta then ends. The last chapter talks about perhaps the most common example of kilayim that we have, which is shatnez. Okay, shatnez is wool and linen that's woven together. The Gemara says, and again, this is also in the Bavli as well as the Yushalmi, that shatnez is a conglomeration of three different words in Hebrew. Shua, Tavi, Venuz, which means that the two threads, the wool thread and the linen thread, are woven, spun, and twisted. That's what makes it prohibited according to the Torah. Midrabanan, however, they're prohibited even if they're not conjoined in that way. Right? And the Gemara says we're not allowed to even sit on a pillow that has shatnez in it. Right? Because the pillow may come up at the ends. And the famous stories about Rabbanim who chose not to sit on a train cushion because they're afraid that it had kilayim in it. There are some people who check kilayim from a baseball glove or gloves or socks. Okay, there. I won't get into all the leniencies and stringencies of this issue, but there is a very interesting difference between wool and linen mixed together and milk and meat mixed together. With milk and meat, if I have a mixture where a little milk mixes in with a lot of meat, or vice versa, so we know the law. If it's 60 times one than the other, then it's called nullified, right? When it comes to wool and linen, there is no such law. If I have a 100% wool blanket that covers an entire football field, and there's just one linen thread in the corner of that blanket, it makes the whole blanket to be shatnez. So we have to look at that thing, and we have to pull out all the linen that's in this thing. Most garments have more wool and linen in it, but they have to check under a microscope. Different threads taken from different parts of the garment or blanket or whatever it might be, and to make sure that there's no linen at all. Under a microscope, the linen and the wool look very different. On the other side, though, if the wool thread has to be made from the wool of a sheep, if the wool thread is made from the wool of a camel, then that's not prohibited with linen. It's the wool of a sheep, dafka. So that if this wool is woven from 51% wool from a camel and 49% wool from a sheep, then I can. According to Maseches Kilayim, I can weave that thread, which is mostly camel wool, with linen. Right? That's also a leniency on the laws of milk and meat, mixing milk and meat. Okay, so let's review. Kilayim is all the things that we're not supposed to mix together. Milk and meat is not considered a kilayim by the Torah, but it does appear to be have a lot of similarities, but some many differences, like I just mentioned. And the six kilayim, just to review, are the mixture of seeds that are not grapes. Two, kilay kerem, mixture of seeds where one of them is a grape. Grafting trees, cross-mating animals, cross-working animals, and then, of course, shatnez for wool and linen. Okay, if anyone needs any questions about checking their new garment for shatnez, there is someone who comes in the neighborhood to one of the local cleaners nearby, and I can direct you to the right place. It hasn't been easy in COVID to get these things done, but that's a place where we can take care of that for you if you need. And as we perform our mitzvahs, let's consider next week we'll be doing another mesechta that has to do with a pre-harvest issue, which is the laws of Shavuos. And we'll cover that in Mirtz Hashem on Tuesday. Meanwhile, everybody have a great Shabbos. Remember, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, that starts tomorrow, even though it's the 30th day of Shavuot. We call it Rosh Chodesh Adar, so we can be machmir and make sure that we're happy tomorrow also. Have a great day, everybody. Have a great Shabbos, and stay well, stay healthy, and look forward to seeing everybody on Tuesday.